So I'm kind of conflicted as to which homily to give. You know, we're in the midst of this Easter season where we're overcome with paschal joy. And earlier today, I was at the cathedral when Deacon Eric and three of his brothers were ordained to the priesthood. So it's this very rejoice-filled, as we heard in that opening prayer, we're sitting in hope as we wait for the resurrection. But then it seems like on a daily basis, we're hearing news reports about the persecution of the church, massacres, churches being destroyed, bombs. In Nigeria, it's not well reported, but it's a massacre of the Christians in Nigeria. Do we know about Sri Lanka? They've canceled masses indefinitely in Sri Lanka because of threat. And it's almost on a daily basis where I hear from you, my parishioners, my family, about the pain in your heart, about the scandal in the church, the sin, the crimes of the priests, and the neglect and the sin of the bishops in their response. So the dilemma of the pastor, of the preacher. And maybe there's a way, especially with the readings today, that we can bring these together. Peter, the one who early on in the life of Jesus' public ministry, said, "You, Simon, are Peter. You're going to lead the church. Wherever you go, I'm going to follow you. Even to the cross, I'm going to follow you. Peter, you're going to deny me. I'm going to follow you. Peter, I prayed for you. Satan desires to sift you. I've prayed for you that when you come back, that you will strengthen your brothers." This man, Simon, this simple fisherman who clearly wasn't even that good at his job, is the one that Jesus chose to lead the church. And then today, we kind of have this restoration of Peter, the man who had deserted Jesus in his most needful hour. "I don't know the man. Cursed be on him. I do not know him." And when Jesus sees him for the third time, earlier he said, "Peace be with you." And now we have this amazing, beautiful encounter. And this passage is so rich. Like John, the gospel writer, assumes that we know the other stories of the gospel. Where else did they fish unsuccessfully and Jesus came and is a miraculous catch? Luke chapter 5, when Peter said, "Depart from me, I'm a sinful man." Where else do we have a charcoal fire that night of Holy Thursday when Peter denied? Where else do we have a man who is naked and then clothes himself? The Garden of Eden. Once Adam realized his sin, they clothed themselves. Peter is lightly clad, and then he clothes himself once he realizes it's Jesus. All these allusions to salvation history, all these allusions in the story today, we can say that Jesus is taking Peter kind of back on this track of these memories. And do you love me? Feed my sheep. Tend to my sheep. The writers, the commentators tell us that this is where we look for the primacy of Peter. Yeah, Matthew 16, he says, "On you I'll build my church, and the gates of hell won't prevail." But this is the moment where he gets the commission to go. In response to your love for me, go and tend and feed my sheep. And this is the pain that we feel. Because this is the mission of the Pope, of the Bishop, of the Priest, of the Church, to tend and to feed the flock. And if we know the prophecy of Ezekiel, "Woe to you shepherds who feed yourself on the flock." It makes me tremble as a priest, as a preacher, to read these words, to know the power and the promise that was given to me and the responsibility. And to know that so many of my brothers have failed. And the pain that has caused so much within the church. It's angering. People from this parish have left the church. People from this parish refuse to support the church in any way because of what's going on. This is a reality in our lives. Why? Because this is the mission right here. Feed my sheep. And so many of them haven't. And it's sad. It's sad. Because we see in that first reading what could be, what will be. I mean, we can't lose hope, because then the devil wins. But we can't deny the reality of how we feel in these moments. These moments of despair. When we look at the rot from within and the attack from without, how can we not despair? For this is what Peter says. We cannot not speak his name. We have to obey. We have to be faithful. And they changed the world. John, writing in that second reading from the book of Revelation, he had a vision that the whole world was glorifying God. In the midst of persecution, John was writing. The church was crumbling. It hadn't spread to the whole world yet, but he was given that vision that the whole world would be around the altar glorifying God. This is our hope, because that will happen. It will happen. I mean, either we're in or we're out. And if we're in, we're going to be glorifying God. And if we're out, we know the result. And the devil is working to destroy us. All throughout scriptures. Destroying. That's what he does. He sows division and he destroys. And he's pretty successful these days. But then I go to the ordination today. And these four young men who laid down their lives literally today, right next to their family, on the floor in the cathedral, laid down their lives to get you to heaven. Gives me hope. It gives me hope. Jesus says, Peter, do you love me? He says, Peter, do you love me with the type of love that will bring you to the cross? Do you have a crucifixion type of love for me? Peter says, I'll be your friend. Jesus gets put in the friend zone. Do you love me with a crucifixion type of love? I'll be your friend. Peter, do you love me with a crucifixion love? I'll be your friend. Peter, will you be my friend? Yes, Lord, you know everything. I will be your friend. See, in English, we only have one word for love. In Greek, there's four different words. And John clearly gives us this differentiation in the levels of love. What does this teach us? And this is where we have hope. We can't change the decisions that some people make. We can pray, we can fast. But for us, because we're all sinners, we've all denied Christ. And so as Jesus came to Peter, Jesus comes to each one of us and says, do you love me? Do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than the other people standing around us? Do you love me more than everything else in your life? Do you love me more than these? And that's what the answer Jesus wants from each one of us. Where do I rank on your list of loves? Will you go to the cross for me, or we're just going to be friends? But if we read the rest of that, Peter wasn't ready to say, I'm going to go to the cross. And Jesus said, okay, I'll meet you where you are. Let's be friends. But the day will come when you will give your life for me. And this is where we have our hope. Jesus called Peter to the crucifix. He called Peter to give his life for Jesus and for the church and for each one of us. Peter said, I'm not ready. But Jesus says, one day you will. So wherever you are in your life, how many times you've rejected Jesus, turned your back on him, said, no, I won't die to myself. I'm going to be okay just being your friend. Jesus will walk with you in that moment. But the day will come that he will give you the grace that you can have your hands tied, dressed by someone else, and led down the path that you don't know where you're going. That's what he was talking about to Peter. The day will come when you'll be crucified for me. Why? Because I'm walking with you. And if we ever want to get to heaven, if we desire heaven above all things, then we have to desire the cross. And if you're not ready for that yet today, Jesus says, okay, I'll walk with you, but be prepared to grow in that love. We have hope. We are a people of hope. No matter how dark it seems or how bad it gets, we cannot lose hope. It's all we have. We pray for an increase in this virtue of hope, this desire, this radical reorientation of my life towards Jesus and all the things of heaven, believing that his promises will come true. So like in the first reading, we can count it for joy that we get to share in the sufferings, even if they're caused by our own brothers and sisters. Even if they're caused by our own priests and bishops. We rejoice that we are united with Christ on the cross. And this is our hope. And so, yes, my heart is torn, but I'm overcome with Paschal joy. It was a beautiful day at the cathedral today, and it's a beautiful day every day because Christ is alive. And this is why this candle burns bright, because the grave is empty, death reigns no more, sin has no more power over us. Christ is alive. Christ is alive. Hallelujah.